This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask, with your host, Dr. Judith Briles. On the show today, you'll find out where book publishing is going and how to take advantage of it. How to identify and avoid publishing predators. What opportunities are emerging as the book trade evolves in new forms. How to avoid losing money, and much, much more. Join us now as a variety of publishing pros will deliver insights and strategies to take the author to the next level of publishing. It's your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Brought to you by Author U and The Book Shepherd. And now, here's your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
Well, happy March to all of you. It's we're kind of March madness all around us, and we're going to talk about bringing some sanity, some calm, some juicelating to you today. As always, I'd like to welcome you to the show. Well, you'll be hearing a variety of ahas, insights, tips, and how-tos for your author, publishing, and book marketing success. And today we're going to add on creativity success. With that, I always like to start the show with a quote from my book, Snappy, Sassy, Salty Success, and it's on our theme. Creativity is getting others to think you made it up. So with us is Melody Jones. Melody herself is a published author, award-winning poet. She's worked with hundreds of writers and authors since 2011 as a social media consultant. After 30 years in the Denver metro area, she moved to what we call the Western Slope and now is the president of the Western Colorado Writers Forum, bringing creativity to whatever their words are. Melody, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much, Judith. Glad to be here.
I'm so glad to have you here. and so much has been going on, I think, especially the creativity and AI. And sometimes I think of creativity and AI is almost like an oxymoron. If you let entity do it. So with that said, let's kind of jump in, because, you know, Melody gave me a few leads, and this is really what I want you to think about as we roll through our hour together. That if you're feeling stifled or kind of just no juice in you, you're uninspired, or you're just really tired of looking at a blank page, or if you're feeling that writer's block is just the unwelcome house guest of all time, and it's just time to build some creativity juice. So that's what we're going to do today, to try to get rid of some of the blahs, to tap in more deeply to what your core is, and bring out things that maybe you haven't even thought of or knew were deep inside. How's that for a setup, Melody?
I love it. Fantastic. I wish I wrote it down.
So here we go, everyone. So I think maybe what we should talk about is just what is creativity?
What is creativity? And, you know, I have a couple of more formal definitions that I love, and I'm going to go ahead and say, and then we'll expand. Okay. One of them is really just, it's straight off Encyclopedia Britannica, but I love it. And that is the ability to make or otherwise bring into existence something new. And it's whether it's a new solution to a problem, a new method or device, or a new artistic object or form.
Okay, I'll go with that.
Yeah, I love that. And then there was a doctor, Mark Runco was his name, who did some research into creativity in 2012. And he came to the conclusion that for something to be considered creative, it must possess both originality and value plus execution. And that value could be joy. I mean, sometimes we do things just for the creative joy of it. And so his ultimate definition is creativity is the execution of an idea that has both originality and value. So you must execute it. You can think about it because, you know, we have lots of ideas. Do we always execute those ideas?
No, you know, I think I go with that because a lot of times it's no action, no action.
That's right.
And a lot of times, you know, we get those moments, we get those thoughts that it could be in the shower, it could be washing dishes, it could just be, you know, your feet up, a mug of coffee, or for you, hot tea for me. And we're just kind of looking out and seeing a sunrise or the sunset going down. And you get this amazing idea or concept or aha. And it comes and it goes. It comes and it goes.
Right. That's right. Capturing it is a key component. And it's tough to capture in the shower, you know, unless you can shout out to somebody outside and say, write this down. But
or you have something, or you have a wetproof cell phone hanging over the shower door. You can talk to it. Or you've got, you know, they do have whiteboards for showers. Those are available for those of you who get these amazing concepts in the shower, and by the time you're toweled off, they're gone. So that might be, yeah, check them out. I guess I always go to Amazon, start playing around with keywords and see what comes up. Always a thought to do it that way.
Well, so, it's one of the search engines for sure, Amazon is.
Yes, like number three globally. All right, so with that said, what are some of your tips to instantly thing? I'll tell you, one of mine is I always have a pad of paper with me, literally.
Yeah.
I carry it in my purse. I have sticky pads. I have them in the car, and that I can scribble maybe just a couple of words that will rejuvenate me.
Well, I like that idea. And many writers I know do carry pen and paper with them at all times. And if they don't have it on their person, they at least have it in their vehicle. And in fact, I know a local writer over here that will pull over her car and write something down if it occurs to her while driving, because driving is just one of those moments where you might be in some kind of flow, you know, and it's much like the shower. It's something you're used to doing. And so she'll pull over and write things down. And I do know some younger folk who will do the same thing, but they do it on their phone. So I say, whatever way you capture that moment, then capture it. Take the time to do that.
Well, you know, I'm known when I'm watching a TV, maybe a movie, mm-hmm. or even mm-hmm. in a movie, sometimes I hear a line that is just so fantastic, I write it down, because somehow I'm going to play with it. I will play with it.
Well, let me tell you something. You just captured. Now, that's nothing I even wrote in my notes that I'll talk about today, but you just reminded me that I've done that many times. I have entire notebooks where I've written down lines from movies and shows that I didn't want to forget. And then when I really wanted to move past what I'm used to writing, because I do a lot of poetry these days. And if I want to move past that, I'll go back to that book and pull a line and work from it. And so it's a really creative way to engage with what you're watching, you know, and mm-hmm. what you're hearing. So excellent. That's what I do. And I wanted to say that the title of the book you just quoted is extremely creative. And I'm wondering how you came up with it. Sassy, there's sassy and salty in there. I know that much.
Snappy, Sassy, Salty Success. It used to be, the original version was Snappy, Sassy, Salty. And I like the reiteration.
Yeah.
Snappy and sassy has always been kind of one of my thing. And hey, a little salt never hurt anybody. And then when we did the update and I added 200 more quotes, originally it had 200 quotes in it. Now it has over 400 of my quotes. And then I added success, and it's really broken up the snappy, sassy, healthy success. It's wise words for authors and writers. And it's just kind of, they're almost like prompts in some ways, like the one I just mm-hmm. read about creativity, and they're broken into marketing, a success, even dealing with failure, just sections within it. And I know one of the stories, Melody, I tell in the book, is about Ernest Hemingway, where he was just mm-hmm. being hounded at a book signing, and a reporter was there who was just really being pissy and challenged him to come up with the six words that was succinct, that pulled it all together. And that's where that phrase, baby shoes, baby shoes, never used for sale.
Yeah, that's a favorite. But, a favorite of mine. Yeah. It says everything.
Yeah. It mm-hmm. says everything. So
and we're going to talk about that. Well, we can, yeah. And that's structure. Using structure is one of the things I talk about as a framework for creativity. I think some people think the absence of structure is freedom, a type of freedom, and I guess it is. But I challenge people to embrace structure as freedom as well. Like that 6 words is exactly what I'm talking about. If you decide to write a story within 6 words, you have to be ultimately creative to do that. It's actually prompting your creativity.
And myopic. And myopic when you start, because you only have 6 words. So what's my verb?
What's my That's exactly verb? Right. Well, and I talk many times about word limits and time limits. How can you put structure around what you're doing so you can sort of pump up your creativity? And I do talk poetry. If everybody would write a poem or two, including people that are nonfiction writers who never think of themselves as poets, a form of poetry like a haiku will put that structure around it, and it makes you really hone in, just like you talked about, on what do you mean without all mm-hmm. the extra work to it. And so I encourage everybody, poet or not, to write a haiku or any form at all and work within it. And you will find that it sort of just sort of, I guess, forces your brain to think differently. It just makes you be creative. You'll just accidentally be creative. There you are.
I'm so glad you brought that up, the haiku. When I wrote my last book for the author writing community called The Author's Walk, all about finding your voice for your platform, I have haiku in it. And I, all of a sudden, I was writing this, and then I realized what I was doing. And it was a totally different, a totally different structure. And in fact, when I turned it over to my editor, my regular editor, nonfiction editor, she didn't get it. And she tried to restructure all like my regular how-to books. And I said, no, that's not where we're going. All right. So with that, we're going to take our first break. With this is Melody Jones. She is a creativity coach. We'll be right back.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these.
Is there a book in you? Or another? Author U shows you how to create, develop, and publish your book without being hoodwinked. If you already have a book out, you will find a supportive and brainstorming community that is connected and creative, no matter where you live. Author U brings in national experts for its book camps and annual Author U Extravaganza. It has regular meetings and delivers webinars for its members on timely topics. Through Author U's extensive network, members enjoy exclusive benefits, including significant discounts for a variety of services necessary to publishing. Author U is the premier authoring resource in the country, creating community, education, guidance, vision, and success for the serious author. If you want to create a book that has pizzazz, punch, and panache, Author U is for you. Timely author and publishing tips and articles are posted on its social media platforms, and it is free. Discover Author U, where authors go to become seriously successful. Join Author U today at authoru.org.
Welcome back to your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. If you want to write and publish a book, if you want to be successful as an author, your guide to book publishing, everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask, is for you. Stay tuned and you'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
With me today is Melody Jones. You can find out much more about Melody at her website, MelodyJonesAuthor.com. Our topic today is creativity. Where does it come from? What's the juice? How do we get it going when it kind of freezes on us a little bit? Melody, I have heard you refer to creativity, kind of like a dog's life. What does that mean?
That sounds crazy, I know. When I was putting together a creativity retreat for writers a couple summers ago, and it occurred to me that I should look at what dogs do, because I've always been enamored of dogs. And the main thing that a dog does is they live in the moment. Pay attention to how they are. They are naturally adept at mindfulness. Everything is the best thing that's ever happened in the moment. Time for a walk, woo, it's the best thing. Time for food, wow, it's my favorite thing. And so I got to thinking, what does that have to do with creativity? Well, mindfulness. It's all about putting yourself in the moment. You know, dogs don't question what the next thing is. They don't worry about that. They embrace what's happening right now, and they embrace playfulness within those moments. And they even get playful with the mundane, like a stick or a butterfly or their food bowl. And so it's basically changing your mindset to living in the moment and really paying attention to what's happening right now and enjoying it for what it is. And that's how you embrace a dog's life.
Well, I think I'm all for it. Oh my God, you remind me when I was setting myself up for the creativity to flow and getting ready. I likened it to a dog circling and circling the table or the rug before he or she plops down, you know, and part of my, yep, they do. And part of my circling was at that time I was a coffee drinker. So I was in your territory. And I would literally circle around, sometimes walk around with a mug of coffee as I'm thinking, as I'm starting to organize my brain a little bit before I sat down and started writing on that. So that seems totally logical to me.
Living in the moment. Mindfulness is a great tool for creativity. As is any type of meditation or gratitude work, puts you into a creative space because you're letting go of all the logic and the worries and the worrying about the future and the bad conversation from yesterday. It takes you away from all of that and puts you into a moment of helping to create flow.
And also doing some odd things. You know, we have a mutual friend, Ann Randolph, who I attended some of her classes, and she would often start with a poem or a prompt and take us off, or she would tell us to take three items. It could be, she could maybe have a bowl of fruit that we had to pull three items out, and we had to start writing anything. It was irrelevant what we wrote, but we had to use three of those fruits that were in front of us in the first paragraph. And then we just took off. I always found that a good exercise. What other kind of tools do you use for prompts with people to get them going?
Ah, for prompts. So one of the things, well, that segues really well into valuing the creative energy in the ordinary, which is what fruit is the ordinary. So one activity I do with people sometimes is you do pick an ordinary object in your immediate environment, whatever that might be. You look at it in detail, and this is odd, but it works. If you had to describe it to an alien who has no idea about earthly objects, what would you say? What would you say about this? And so you're looking at this ordinary coffee cup, and how would you describe this to somebody that doesn't understand what that is? And it's about its creative energy in the ordinary. It's just looking at the ordinary. You load the dishwasher every day. How would you describe doing that? How would you describe the tools of living if you had a piece of silverware? And so the ordinary and the mundane can be a great source of creative inspiration if you choose to see it that way.
Oh, you're taking me back to Mork and Mindy days, because she...
I love Robin so much. I miss him.
I know. Me too. Oh, me too. Mindy is trying to describe to alien Mork what in the heck all this was, and it was hilarious at times. I mean, hilarious. And of course, Robin Williams just ad-libbed everything off of what she said, so you never knew where things were going to go.
But he was a genius at that, because when you do try to describe something, you don't realize that you're not giving all the information you need to, because your human brain fills it in. You fill in certain mm-hmm. missing pieces, and you don't understand that you didn't say every single thing that you need to say to describe it well to somebody that doesn't get it. And so what he was good at was pointing that out. And that's why it's funny, because she would miss a detail. But this is an enormous source of creativity to do this kind of exercise.
And so I like the alien. I wrote that down. I think I'm going to think about that, you know. And here's another thing that I do. I tell my authors that if you're feeling really stuck, I want you to just really think about who you're writing for, who's the who. Mm-hmm. And put your laptop down, or just clear it, just glare at the TV, blank screen, or off in Lululand, or go grab a mug of tea. And have a conversation with that who. Ask them how they're doing, what they're doing, why they're doing it, what's gone wrong lately. And I found that sometimes that eases that in to get a normalcy coming back, that you relax a little bit and then you can take off again. That's one of my little tips I do.
Reminding yourself that, I'm sorry, I keep thinking I hear something else going on. It's reminding yourself that there's a real person on the other side of your writing that you're talking to, that's just a mm-hmm. real everyday person. And that if you can remind yourself of that, it does help to ease those the jitters maybe about trying to write the exact right thing, you know, and don't worry about that. Just write. That's where we're at sometimes.
Well, I think that I think too many authors, especially newbie authors, aspiring authors, they're reaching for perfection from the get-go, and that's always a mistake. It's always a mistake.
I so agree. It's just you want to get in the flow, and this is why, you know, again, with putting some structure on it, if you do 10 minutes of free writing every single day, you know, you'll get it trains your brain and your body to get into the flow more quickly. So at first, if you haven't done that kind of free writing in a while, and you give yourself 10 minutes, you know, you got to get to it. And it doesn't matter if you start with a laundry list of what you have to do that day, eventually, it'll get more creative naturally. And so and then as you practice that every day, you'll get into the flow much more quickly, and it won't be as hard to get started. But you've got to do it. It makes a huge difference.
If this is your writing day. Now, what do you think, Melody, about people who, I've heard it, I know you've heard it, you have to write every day, or you should be writing certain times, or whatever. And I have to say for myself, I do write every day, because I have so many different things I have to write, whether it's blogs, whether it's like the previous evening, I did a taped conversation with one of the Authors Hall of Fame, and I have to immediately, as soon as I have that the replay video ready to go, I have to instantly write up a push out, cover some of the highlights of it, and then e-blast it out to everyone so they have it. So I'm writing every day. I'm not writing on my next book every day. Am I missing out on something?
Writing is writing. I write a lot of emails. I figure that's writing. You know?
Oh, thank you. Oh, then I'm covered.
You're covered.
I'm totally covered.
Yeah, those of us that are organizing or presidents of things or in charge of things, we get to do a lot of writing, whether we mean to or not. You know, here's what I say. I do think, this is just my personal observation, I do think writing every day does help. Do you have to follow that rule? No, of course you do not. But I will say, making it a priority on whatever day you say it is and sticking with it is very important. So if you don't, you know, if you're a person that doesn't want to write every day, at least get something consistent out there. Maybe it's every other day, and treat it like you do brushing your teeth. You are not going to walk out of the house without having brushed your teeth. So you're not going to walk out of the house without having gotten your writing done. And that's the structure piece we're talking about. The structure does support the creativity. And the discipline does actually support the creativity. So that's my personal viewpoint. If I write every day, I find it's easier when I really want to be serious about it. You know, if I have a real project I want to work on and not just free writing or email, it does make a difference for me. So that's my take on that.
Well, I do love the discipline supports the productivity, because that is kind of my MO. So when I'm a binge writer, you know, I go binges, and I literally can write 12 and 14 hours a day when I am in what you call the flow. When I'm in the flow, I get to take health breaks. I get to take refill mug breaks, and I may grab a cookie or something, you know, I mean, that's where I'm at.
Okay. That's right. Those
cookie.
Are very creative.
Cookies are very important. Yeah. French just bought me a box of Girl Scout Thin Mints. So cookies. what we have. But well, I think. Go ahead.
I have thoughts when you're done.
Oh, if you can remember them. See, that's the problem. They can sometimes go adios on us. I think it's just really important to understand what your MO is and work away. So typically when I know, and going back to your discipline supports productivity, my discipline really, when I'm really doing a heavy duty project or I'm trying to set up a new book, I will disappear for several days. I will be incognito. I have been on cruise ships and in 6 days done an entire draft of a book. Because I'm so myopic, so focused that nothing else is, you know, I'm not snorkeling. I can't do any of that stuff. This is actually going to be my job. These 6 days, I'm in this stateroom having room service. So I'm good.
I like it. It's being aware of how you work and who you are and how you work and what works for you. And in your case, that's what works for you. Binge writing doesn't work for everybody, and it works for some people. It's understanding how you think and what works best for you. There's a local writer over here who has written he keeps it small. He writes 250 words a day, every day, no matter what, for 10 years at least. In fact, it might be more than 10 years. And he has, from that sort of discipline, created many books and has published many times and has many articles out there. And so for him, that's what works. And it's only 250, which is basically, as we know, one page. It's basically one type page. And that's all he does. So, but for him, it makes a huge difference. And in your case, I know. I'm amazed. I'm like, wow, I should be so disciplined.
I think that's awesome when you think about what he is doing. I mean, I am kind of, you know, going through. He's written 900,000 words. You go, boy. We'll be right back.
At least.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these.
Discover the power of you and your book at the Judith Briles Unplugged events. Each summer, Judith Briles Book Marketing Unplugged unfolds over 3 intensive days working with just Judith. You get publishing strategies, author and book platforms, book marketing panache and pizzazz, and authoring tools to take you and your book to rock star success. In the fall and winter, Judith Briles Speaking Unplugged includes Judith as your coach and mentor during 2 powerful days. You will learn how to structure a speech, how to create openings and closings, how to find gigs that pay you and sell your books, and you will get one-on-one coaching. Go to thebookshepherd.com and click on the events tab to learn how to participate at the next Unplugged Workshop event.
Welcome back to your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. Coming up, you'll hear more about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
With me today is Melody Jones, and we're talking about one of my favorite things, which is the old C word, creativity. And with creativity, it comes, Well, there may be some formulas for some people. I think all of us have our own formula. But a stated gospel formula, I don't think there really is one. Is there, Melody?
In my experience, I think there's, just like in creativity, there's a number of ways to look at that.
All right.
It's not just, it's not that way.
Yeah. Let's play around with just overall artistic expression, because writing is artistic. I always think of authors, writers, we're really artists. We're artists with words. And our storytelling. Okay. So, so what are some of the things that we should be thinking about here?
Well, you know, I would like to just say, in my research that I have done over some years about creativity, I want to start with us as children, as we move into adulthood, what happens, because it's very important in terms of artistic expression. There was a creativity test given to 1,600 children. I don't have the year written down. I wish I did. But it went from age 5 to age 31. And at age 5, 98% scored at the genius level. Age 10, 30%. Age 15 was 12%. And age 31 was 2% scored at the genius level for creativity. In other words, I think it supports this idea that humans are born creative, and then we're taught to basically be uncreative and just walk the straight and narrow. And I'm here to say you can unlearn that. If you can unlearn it to start with, you can relearn it. It's basically a muscle. Creativity is a muscle. And so when we think about children, a very big part of being a child is artistic expression. Every child does this. Every single child will draw with great abandon. You've raised children. You know what I'm talking about. And they don't care. It's not about, is it good? They just draw a dog. And if you can't tell it's a dog, that's not their problem. That's how they see it. And so we as adults have gotten very far away from artistic expression in terms of things like drawing or painting or Play-Doh and sculpting. Mm-hmm. And so I say, as adults, bring these things back. Nobody's grading you. Don't worry about what it looks like. Do some drawing. And one of the ones I know we've done before is, you can just get a sheet of paper and put a bunch of circles on that, and then give yourself 1 minute and draw within those circles, as fill them in as fast as you can with drawings. And the reason we put the structure around it is it sort of forces that feeling of urgency. We've got to get this done. I only have a minute. And you will be creative in your drawing within those circles. The circle itself might look like a baseball, or you might put anything. Maybe it's an eyeball. Maybe it's just a scene within the circle. So it's taking, the left-brainers can have the idea of putting it within a framework, which is the circle. And then we have the timer that's there, but then you can engage your right brain with actually drawing within it. And so it's doing these little tricks like this.
That's a fun exercise.
Get some cheap paint. I was just going to say, get some cheap paint and go out and get some rocks and clean them off and paint rocks. I'm not really kidding. Do stuff like this. Do what the kids do.
They have rock kits. I remember being in a Barnes & Noble store not too long ago. And they had rock kit painting kits. So you could, with ideas for
Fantastic.
You to do it. Yeah, and I love that kind of stuff. I remember when my grandson was maybe 6 years old, and then in school, this was a school assignment, and the teacher just wanted them to write a tall tale, a tall story, some kind of tall. So Frank came home, and he was working on it, and he asked me for a whole bunch of paper, just a whole bunch of, from my printer, white paper. And he proceeded to make a tall tale, and it had 30 pages to it scotch taped.
Is that something? He just interpreted it however he did.
Yeah.
That was his
imagination. He was going to have a tall tale, and he wrote a vertical story.
And he just didn't think about it. He just did it. This is what I'm saying. Embrace it. You get this idea. It seems crazy. Perfect. Do it.
I loved it. I loved it. So now I'm going to go back to your comment that humans are born creative and they are taught to be uncreative. I think that's so powerful in this, because he could have his teacher when he took it in. I mean, he's getting huge enthusiasm, cheers from Grandpa and I. Yeah. We loved it.
Of course.
but you never know if he would have, and he wasn't, but he could have been zapped on the other side when he took it to school.
Oh, easily. And I think that is a problem at times.
Mm-hmm. I know. Sadly.
I think he's brilliant. I think that's brilliant. His tall tale, and he taped it all together, and you said
it was
a tall tale here. I just love that story. I'm still tickled about that story. So fantastic. That's what we're talking about. Thinking outside the ordinary, you know, thinking outside the box. It's such an old cliched word and, you know, or phrase, but it became cliched for a reason, because that's what you got to do if you want to tap into your creativity. Think outside
and let it go.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Can we use our bodies to support our creativity? Would that be just movement or what?
Sure. Movement is, well, we know, we're told by all the experts and also by really successful authors to get out and exercise. So we already know as writers that we ought to get to stand up from what you're doing and take a walk. Just a walk alone will help you. But there's been studies on getting your body out into some kind of nature. It could just be a park down the street. But anything that is green, anything that's nature inspired helps your brain to sort of reset itself. And if you're exercising your body, it gets those endorphins and so forth going in your brain, and your brain actually thinks better. There's all kinds of, science and on that that people could look up and figure out if they needed to. So that's one, that's the main way. But you could, you could do some things while you're exercising. Try walking backwards. I am not going to walk backwards. But some people I know do that. And, you want to talk about engaging your body outside of your brain to just do something different. All these kinds of things put you in the flow that we're talking about. And creativity just naturally happens. And then do things like use your ears. Listen to music you don't normally listen to. And really listen to it. Don't do one other thing. Do only that and figure out, do you like it? Or if you don't like it, what don't you like about it? What different instruments are in there? Is it something you would listen to again? And again, it's using your body to get into that flow. A couple of other activities I have people do sometimes is doing things with your non-dominant hand. Have you ever tried to brush your teeth with your non-dominant hand?
Oh, it's air all over the place.
It's hard. But
yeah.
But you have to be creative and you have to think it through. And boy, it takes you out of the worries of the day, doesn't it? Because you're busy going, why can't I brush my teeth? I know how to brush my teeth, and yet it looks like I can't. Or if you write some things with your non-dominant hand, that helps to get you into that flow. So it's these kinds of things, using your body. Drive a different route home and get out of just what you're used to doing and do something different. So driving a different route home causes you to perk up. You have to pay a little bit more attention. You can't worry about your day when you're thinking, now, where do I turn? I can't remember that one turn. And then the biggie that everybody talks about, but is extremely valuable, is meditation. I don't know if you've ever tried any kind of formal meditation, but it can really help realign your energies and get you out of the worry of the day. And there's plenty of meditations for free on YouTube. And there's an app that I use called Insight Timer that has thousands of free meditations, everything from 2 minutes to an hour. And you can find what you the kind of meditation that you like and just start practicing it. Even just practicing it, you don't have to be good at it. Again, get rid of that, the critic. But doing that with your body and your mind really helps the flow of creativity.
You mean there are people out here who grade people on how they meditate?
Oh, who knows?
Please tell me they're not. Please tell me they're not.
I say not. I don't know. But people think that people grade themselves. It's more about you get worried about yourself. Am I doing it right? Don't worry about that. Who cares? Mm-hmm. You're doing it the best you can. That's all you can do.
Go ahead, finish.
Well, there's an idea that meditation isn't the absence of thought, but the brain does not work that way. So it's not the absence of thought. It's that you let the thought go by. It's learning how to let that thought, it comes in the left and it goes by on the right, whatever. It just goes away. It just goes away. You let it float on by. So that's the point I was going to make, is people worry that you have to empty your mind. Well, I don't know. My mind's not empty. ever that I know.
No, mine isn't either. It's always going all the time. Right. What I was going to do is thinking of, you know, the body. I recently had another knee replacement. Replacing an old knee. I had a one that was past its registration date. It was 20 years old, and it was basically disintegrating on me. And John was surprised to see me leverage myself into bed. I mean, and I was able to do push-offs, swing the leg over, do different things that I could get into bed, where normally I would not. If I tried to do it the regular way, it wouldn't have happened. But, and when I've seen other people, you know, when you are put into a circumstance, you've got to come up with option B or option M, because the previous ones didn't work. You've got your creativity juices going together. And I was able, I have in my kitchen area, I have a really large granite bar where we replaced. I mean, it's huge and extended. And I kind of felt like I was the bartender in Cheers, because it got to the point when, you know, my goal was to become self-sufficient as soon as possible. And that I could slide a mug of coffee for John from one end to the bar to the other and then lift it up and give it to him. Or, you know, to me, as I started transitioning around to sit down. But it was, and I never would have imagined myself doing a sling like that. But by God, I. So, and you have to kind of judge your distance, you know, okay, so how much motion do I put? What's the momentum here that I need? So it doesn't keep going.
Well, I know of people who were bedbound for one reason or another. Sometimes it's a pregnancy that they have to be very, you know, that they can't move too much on and have had to figure out what are they going to do with your time. And some of the creative solutions that have come out of that have been amazing. There are stories out there of people who have written entire books. They didn't think they didn't know they were going to do that, but they did. Or started a new blog or something. And it's amazing what you can do when you have to. Again, nature or surgery has put a certain sort of structure around you, and now you get to figure out how to still move forward with that structure in place. And that's a great example.
It is. All right. With that, we're going to take our final break. We'll be right back with Mildy Jones and how to structure creativity.
This is your guide to book publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. With your host, Dr. Judith Briles. And we'll be right back with more great information right after these.
Oh, what a night. Are you confused about publishing options? Do you know which printing option is best for your book? Does your stomach flip when you think about selling books? Or do you feel overwhelmed with what to do about book marketing and publicity? Get the answers and much more. Get them and from someone who knows publishing inside and out from both the traditional and independent sides, how to make a successful book. You can't do it alone without paying the price. You can spend your money creating a book that turns out to be so-so. Or you can create a book that looks and feels classy, builds your brand and platform, and is a success, a bestseller. It is your choice. You choose. If you want author and publishing success, you want Judith Briles as your book coach. Sign up for her weekly blogs and e-zine at thebookshepherd.com. The book shepherding concept is simple. The publishing world is changing, and so must you. You need an experienced shepherd and guide to collaborate with you as you create, strategize, develop, publish, and achieve your publishing goals. Publishing is riddled with obstacles, sometimes nightmares for the author. You do not need more problems. You want solutions. Dr. Judith Briles will shepherd you through the maze and chaos. At times, she has had to step in and rescue a book. A book that has been sabotaged by a publisher, by a publishing service provider, and sometimes even by the author. If you want author and book success, connect with her today at thebookshepherd.com.
Welcome back to Your Guide to Book Publishing. Everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask. If you want to write and publish a book, if you want to be successful as an author, Your Guide to Book Publishing, Everything You Want to Know But Didn't Know What to Ask, is for you. Stay tuned and you'll hear about statistics, scenarios, and strategies on what to do now to get you published. So let's get back to the show. And here again is your host, Dr. Judith Briles.
Well, throughout the show, we've been talking about the power, and it is power, of creativity, and not being controlled by really rules. I love what our guest, Melody Jones, really revealed about the creativity and the genius. And basically, we are all born with creativity. We score in you know, when we're teeny weeny kids at genius level. But by the time we hit our 30s, we flunk. And we were lucky to hit 2% genius in the creativity marks. Well, that's kind of sad when you think about it. So how can you get that little kid back to you to where anything goes? So, Melody, what are some of the things that we can play with here?
I have a really great exercise. And, you know, this was born in my social media days when I was working with a lot of authors and writers in social media way back. And one of the things that they lamented, and you still hear it today, is, I don't know what to post in social media. And constantly. And then as our, and we can connect it to technology, because as our phones got more advanced and people got more phones, now we had cameras on those phones. And so I started coaching that what you're going to do is you're going to take a picture each and every day, at least one, if not many, every single day in your life. And that is going to be something that you now have saved that you can pull forward when you don't know what else to post. Well, I realized that this is highly creative and it can be used in creativity and getting your brain to see things differently. And so now on the creativity side, let's just say you have a snow day that you're snowbound in your house, for example, and as happens in Colorado, and you can't get out in your life and take a photograph, then what you do is you go around your house and you take a photo, a close-up of your spider plant, or a close-up of the countertop, or you look more deeply into your coffee cup, whatever it is, and you take pictures of these ordinary objects in your environment. And now, you know, because you're used to your environment, you're starting to see your own environment differently because you're being creative about, oh my gosh, I have to take a picture and I'm tired. I don't want to just take a standard, you know, I don't want to take a picture of my couch. That's boring. But what about the arm of your couch? Maybe it has interesting fabric on it. So it's about using your, you know, the tool that you already have, which is your phone, and taking a picture of your life. And I can recall one time putting gas in my car and there was a funny sticker that somebody had stuck on the gas pump. And it made me laugh, so I took a picture of it. Mm-hmm. Your inspiration is everywhere. So you take a picture every single day of what anything in your life. You've got to go run to the bank. That's fine. Maybe there's a bird, you know, a bird in front of you while you're trying to get your deposit, you know, handled. There's a bird sitting in the parking lot in front of you. What's he doing? Something interesting. And you take a picture. Mm-hmm. So that's one of my big.
I love you saying this. I have a. I don't welcome all the birds to my house. I just like the little, like, finches.
Yeah, I love
them. Number one, there's less poop. But the other thing is, they're really quite beautiful to watch. And I got one of my bird hanging things has got, like, three of the, where we put the finch feed in. It's different from regular bird feed. And we have their seeds, their seedings in, and they were three. And I tell you, I looked out one day and it was like they were having a party. There must have been 18 freaking birds wrapped around these things.
What are they thinking? I always wonder, what are they doing?
It was a party. It was cocktails. it was sea tails, but they were doing something. And, you know, I was just thinking as you were talking about going around the house, I just noticed, and I'm going to do this. I just noticed that the Christmas cactus, it never comes out at Christmas. It does it all times during the year. It's starting to show little buds. That might be kind of fun to take a picture each day, which goes on. And I know when the finches were, I have my wreath, they seem to like those for their nesting. And the wreath by the door that, you know, I was fascinated. So what is in that nest? So I just took my phone, just like you're saying, and I just took it up and I took a picture to see what the heck was going on. Where there were these five jelly bean size eggs in there. No bigger than a jelly bean. And they were blue. And so I would go out, you know, every few days and take another picture. And I got one of a hatchling. I mean, it was so fun to watch them grow, really evolve from the egg to when they, and I remember one day, last day I opened the door and the lone guy was left and he's just looking at me. And I said, you know, it's time for you to leave.
time to leave the nest, as they say.
Your brothers and sisters are gone. It's time for you to go. I think the mobile is such a deal. And I had a situation where I was in France one time and I was mesmerized by these beautiful, beautiful fuchsia flowers that the bees just were having a party around. And then I saw the size of the pollen on their legs. I was just doing exactly what you said. What am I going to write my blog about? Mm-hmm. And I ended up writing a blog using an image from a heavily laden leg of a bee from the flower in France to set the stage.
Exactly. That's exactly. Yes. So it's fodder for writing prompts. Absolutely true. Or any kind of use for your photographs. But I like that you used it as a prompt. That's another way to use what's on your phone already and to use technology in a creative way.
And it wasn't about not writing a blog about creativity. It was actually writing a blog about being focused. I think I used it. Because his job was to collect the pollen. And his little legs were so golden amber, loaded with all of this pollen. It was amazing.
Have you ever seen them try to fly away with that heavy load? Really? That you can tell
it is the load. Yeah.
It's kind of funny.
So I'm a big believer. There's also, you know, all these other sites I have told. I think, you know, Melody, you introduced me to Pixabay a gazillion years ago. One of the free sites. And you know, it's still out there, but of course, iStock owns it now. But, and I've always told people, just ignore what's at the top three and just go down and go deep on the Pixabay and everyone that's spelled Pixabay, that the website, because, and I believe it's a good idea to be a hunter-gatherer here, that you, whatever your theme is, whatever your keywords in, go into a site like Pixabay. This is in addition to your phone, by the way. But go into a site like Pixabay and just do the hunting and searching and just skip what you see on page one. I want you to go into deep dive where other people don't go to see what unique things you'll find and just start saving them. Put them in your belt. You should have in your pictures folder a folder specifically for whether it's for blogs or for whatever, but you know, I can't know how many thousands of photos I have on my computer that I can tap into in seconds.
Absolutely. And I think we'll put a little caveat out there that you don't just Google any old image and take it. That's not what we're talking about here. This is a site where these images are free for use. Do not just take anything off the internet and call it yours. So be sure you go to the ones that allow that that's what it is, free for use. So,
you know, and if you're looking on the internet, if you don't know about Wikipedia, if you go into Wikipedia and put in free images, they have like 40 different sites that you can go to. They'll identify. They sure
do. Absolutely. Wikimedia Commons is a good one to get some historic photos on. Yeah.
So Wikimedia Common. I am writing that down. I love that.
Yeah, you can get some great historical free for use. Some weren't, and now they are. You know, as time goes on, they become free for use. And this is a really great way to be creative as well. You could easily go find a historic picture, you know, and create a story from it, or a poem or work of art from it, anything from it. And even if it's way outside what you normally write, sometimes you'll see pictures of stuff that you don't understand what it is, because we don't use that item anymore. So maybe that's a creative prompt for you. What is it? Write a story about what that might be used for. It's just fascinating to look at these old photographs of what items that don't exist, and we don't understand what they are.
Or you could find something that is so oddball. This is an oddball idea. You want to put a question up on your social media pages. I'm going to go back into your old days of social media, Melody. And you could put up to it, and you could start what is this? What is this?
That's right.
Because there's some gadgets that you don't know what in the devil they are.
I've seen some of that out there, and there's inevitably somebody that knows what it is. It's kind of amazing. It's just groupthink. Like, you're just going out there and you're picking brains. Like, what is it? And somebody will know. It's kind of amazing.
What it does is it gives you a segue to something else. And then because you're in something else, you can come back and maybe you get the juice you're looking for to get going again.
That's true. Everything that we're talking about here, it may seem off kilter or way apart from writing, but it isn't, because what we're talking about is opening up your creativity and exercising your creative muscle in whatever way you can that day. And it can be everything we've talked about here today. It could be the body. It could be paying attention like your dog does. It could be the weather. It could take pictures. It could be a haiku. All of it is there to open up your mind again to like you were as a child. And so that's the goal of everything we're talking about today.
And with that said, we're going to say goodbye to everyone. We'll see you next week. And huge thanks for Melody Jones for joining us this hour.
Thank you so much.
All right, everyone. It's Author You, your guide to book publishing. Good writing.
Thank you for being a part of Your Guide to Book Publishing, everything you want to know but didn't know what to ask, with your host, Dr. Judith Brile.